everybody. It's Maggie Rodden. How you doing today? This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show, if you're just tuning in. You know, my guest this morning is on the West Coast, and it's real early there, so I thought I'd play a little bit of something to kind of get the juices flowing, you know what I mean? So, and of course, playing that where you have those guitar solos in there from good old Allman Brothers makes me think about Gibson guitar and how they want to jam it to Gibson guitar and really send those jobs here that are in America. I think they're down in Tennessee. Well, they want to offshore them because they're using some of that wood that they claim. Ooh, well, it's a rare wood. We can't use it. It's just this unsustainable stuff, so they say. Anyway, listen, I want to give you some good information, then I'm going to bring my guest on after the first break, which is in a couple of minutes, and we'll continue to talk about all this stuff these people are hustling. Now, get involved with the network. Help support us because there ain't no free lunch in life. 800-724-2719 is the number to call. Advertise your business or service. Make a donation. Buy a product. RepublicBroadcasting.org is our website. You can donate through there. Send us something in the mail if you so desire. 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas. 78664 is our address. We are on Facebook, Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on Twitter at RBN Live. So listen, lots of ways to find us. Find us, you must, because listen, unless people hear the truth, well, the truth is the only thing that's going to set us all free. It's the lies that will enslave us. So you really need to stand up and do something. Stand up and be counted. Who wants to be a slave? There ain't no fun in that. So you got a choice, free man or slave. If you prefer to be free, and I know there's some people who like to not be free, that's pretty evident, obviously, from what is happening. But for those of us who want to be free men, then get involved, because we are redistributors of the truth here on this network, and it truly is the truth that will set you free. 800-724-2719 is the number to call. Hello to everybody who's listening, all the networks that carry the programming, all the little stations. Thank you. We're glad you do. Stay tuned. I'll be back in three, and my guest will join me then. Hang in there, everybody. Hi, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. Now, listen, there's one more point I want to make about Gibson guitars. Now, see, it would be okay to make these guitars not here in the United States. It would be okay to make them if we shipped them out to those jobs out to India. Then it would be okay. But because they're jobs here in the United States, well, it's not okay then. A little hypocrisy going on there. It's an amazing thing what's really taking place in this nation. For those of us who are awake and see what's going on, it really is rather an amazing thing. So, I want to welcome my guest, Michael Shaw, from Freedom Advocates to the show this morning. Michael is the founder of Freedom Advocates. His website is freedomadvocates.org, and he has been in this fight for a very long time, and he knows how amazing these things are too, don't you, Michael? It's just amazing.
Well, we're all being set up, and you know, the fortunate thing is that Americans are starting to figure it out, coming from both the Democrats and the Republicans, and you know, we're facing a big challenge these days.
Yes, we are indeed. Yes, we are. So what should we talk about, Michael? Is there something pressing you want to? It doesn't even need to be pressing. It can be wrinkled, as a matter of fact. Anything you want to bring up specifically? Otherwise, I'll just pick out some topics. You got anything in mind you want to talk
about?
Well,
let's pick up. You know, as the show goes on, I'm sure we'll get to things like B Corps and other techniques that are being used to spread the concept of sustainable development, or Agenda 21. And this
all
is
right.
The threat that America is facing beyond the threat that we have ever faced as a nation.
Yeah, it really is. And every time you turn around, I was reading an article about food deserts that they claim exist here in this country. Do you have any by you, Mike, perchance? Any food deserts out there in your neck of the woods?
Well, you know, the American breadbasket, the Central Valley of California, is going fallow. And the consequences of that are going to affect every American. The sustainability policies playing out in the Central Valley of California is leaving the valley fallow. It can't get water to water the crops. Nut trees are dying for the lack of water. And that water, of course, is all being saved out of the San Francisco Bay Delta for a two-inch fish. And the water that is collected off of the mountains, the Sierras, and it funnels down through the Central Valley, is now being shipped off to the ocean with benefit to these fish. And meanwhile, the breadbasket of America begins to dry up. And we're going to see that reflected in the price of food and in the availability of food. And all of this marches towards the drumbeat of a globalist-inspired population control. If you can't feed the population will continue to grow. And that's the objective of Agenda 21. It is a massive worldwide population control movement at its essence. And in fact, the documents that create the Agenda 21 dynamic actually call for an 85% reduction in human population across the world. Now, how that's going to be done is something that they don't describe, but I think that anybody aware of the fact that the world government, which is in place, seeks an 85% reduction in human population is a fact that's becoming evident to regular people as they start to see the bizarre activities undertaken by governments around the world and certainly led by our own.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be okay that's a perfect example of the food desert right there in California. I read something about that San Joaquin Valley, Michael, that they grew 60% of the tomatoes consumed here in the United States. 60%! Incredible when you think about that, really. That's a lot of tomatoes, and that's a lot of tomatoes people won't have, which, of course, will jack up the price of the available tomatoes. And, you know, there's so many different ways that they're coming at this to be able to decrease the population through slowly starving people to death, making the food prices so high that you have to eat less. And, of course, there's going to be people who aren't going to be able to afford to buy a can of soup. Which, of course, there aren't those people are already there now, but they'll be even more added to those numbers. So you can see where this is playing out. You can see with the vaccines where, is his name? Bill Gates was at that technology, entertainment, and design meeting about a year ago and said if they worked real hard with their vaccines, they'd be able to decrease the world's population by 10 to 15%. I mean, I would like to have known what was going through people's minds who were sitting in that audience, Michael, when they heard that. What did they think? You know what I mean? What does that say to somebody? It's like Frankenstein's on stage.
Well, it's the strange situation of the American mindset these days. These people who are social outcasts, but who have made a lot of money, have become popularized folk figures, even if their purpose is. The purposes like Mr. Gates, which is to, you know, join in this globalist onslaught on the American principle and American ideals. It's all very unfortunate, but it's not something we have to put up with. You know, it comes not so much from guys like Bill Gates, though he certainly does his part. It comes from our politicians, both Democrat and Republican. You know, many people are fed up with Barack Obama. And so now the Republican Party flirts with Mitt Romney. If the listening audience was to put into their search engines Mitt Romney plus sustainable development, you'll get information that makes the days of Barack Obama look like the good old days.
Yeah, that's the thing they don't recognize is that it's a say hello to the new boss, same as the old boss kind of a deal. They don't get it that all they're doing is replacing one worn out shoe with another worn out shoe, but they're the same pair of shoes. That's all. It's the same old crap.
Well, the surprising part of that is that we have gone from a Democrat Republican who brought Agenda 21 to our shores, George Bush Sr., then went to a Democrat president, Bill Clinton, who brought us the President's Council for Sustainable Development and really infused every federal agency with Agenda 21 doctrine. You know, this comes out of the UN, but was never a UN treaty. It's called soft law, meaning that presidents and prime ministers could take the Agenda 21 protocol home and implement it. It was designed for America. Implement it administratively without any legislative provisions. So since 1992, we've had every federal agency with their purpose being the implementation of Agenda 21, and that has been affirmed and confirmed by four presidents now, two Democrats and two Republicans. Now, the best thing the Republicans can say for themselves as well, they'd say, well, it's just been one family. It's been the Bush family. If you take any national Republican politician, and he is a supporter of Agenda 21, if he wasn't, he would not be a leading national Republican figure, because the Republican Party is so embedded into the Agenda 21 protocol that it does create the circumstance that you refer to, where we can get a president, get a new president, and he's reporting to the same philosophical nightmare that his predecessor was, and it doesn't change going from whomever to whomever. And I will say that regardless of who's elected president this time, we will have another Agenda 21 administration. But, you know, the real important part, Maggie, about understanding Agenda 21 is to know that it is now in its global to local application phase. That means it's your city council, your board of commissioners or board of supervisors at the county level, who are implementing Agenda 21 step by step, docket by docket. And this is where the real battle over Agenda 21 is. So I can be so brazen with that information to say it doesn't matter who's elected president. We are going to have a rotten Congress. D.C. is going to continue down that same path. It is leading America into an abyss. And I think that 9 months before general elections, I think I can say very safely that there'll be no significant change in Congress. There will be a few people elected to Congress this time that are wise to Agenda 21 and are on the citizen side. But whoever is elected to the White House will be an Agenda 21er. And so the real focus for the election season is to be focused on your local elections, because the global to local program of Agenda 21 cannot work if you've got a city council and a mayor who reject it, who understand it and who reject it, who kick out the relationship that your city likely has with the organization called ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. ICLEI comes into your city and infuses it with all the globalist policies under a contract, a treasonous contract at that, that is signed by your mayors and city council people, bringing this organization into your planning department and are rearranging local policy and local statutes so as to fit the dynamic for Agenda 21. So this is where the battle is being fought today. This is where every American can do something, because it's your town, it's your county that's being overrun, and you, working with some other people in your city, can bring that to the attention of the general populace. That is happening in a lot of places, and you can begin to rid your community of Agenda 21 policies. Once enough communities do that, we're on our road back.
Well, I know we're going to hit the break in a few seconds, Michael, but when we come back, let's talk, because you're talking about the global to local and what's happening locally, and, of course, there's this push for regionalism. So I would like to talk about this whole Soviet structure of regionalism, and that when we come back, we're going to hit a break shortly. But if we could focus on that, I think that's so critical that people understand how a Soviet structure differs from elected group of leaders, if you will. We'll be back in 3 minutes, everybody. Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates is my guest. His website is freedomadvocates.org. It is on my main page under the recommended tab on the right-hand side. So listen, make sure. Go there. It's like a library of information. We'll be back in three. Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. You are listening to the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. The call-in number this morning, if you have a question for my guest, Michael Shaw, who is the founder of Freedom Advocates, and his website is freedomadvocates.org. And really, it is like a little library there. So if you go to his website, put in the search section, whatever you want to search for, and you're going to get a lot of articles that'll come up that'll give you a lot of information related to whatever topic you may be talking about, transportation, the police state, your oceans, whatever it is. Look it up. You're going to find information there. It really is an excellent website. Call a number this morning, 800-313-9443, if you have a question for my guest, Michael Shaw. When we went to break, Michael, I said, let's talk about this regionalism. And I think it's real important that people understand how the elected vote, elected representative, differs from these unelected boards that and how that'll play out and impact their day-to-day lives. So if you would talk about that, please, I'd appreciate it, Michael, because I don't think we can hammer home this point enough. So,
well, I think you're right about that. You know, the American form of government is something that the average American learns about in eighth grade civics. But what we learned in eighth grade civics has nothing to do with how the American government really runs. Now, that may sound like an outlandish statement, but give me a few minutes here. Let's start by assessing what a Soviet is. You know, we've all heard about Soviets, these dastardly organizations that take countries and cause countries' inhabitants to become unfree and abused. But most Americans don't know what a Soviet is. So let me give a definition, because this is going to tie to regionalism, and that's what we're going to really talk about. But a Soviet is a system of councils that report to an apex council. Soviets work to implement a predetermined outcome. And often, in America, as it's playing out, this is done through a process of consensus. And it affects a region or a neighborhood. We'll come back to that when we talk about Soviet, about regionalism. Now, members of the Soviet Council are chosen by virtue of their willingness to comply with the outcome and their one-mindedness with the group. Now, Soviets, the third factor I'm going to point out, is that Soviets are the operating mechanism of a government-controlled economy, whether that government be a socialist government or a government corporate, so-called public-private partnership dynamic. So with that information, we can begin to appreciate what happened in Russia, why Russia fell to totalitarianism. The core reason for that is that as Soviets are created with no particular boundaries on them, the Soviet is simply appointed. The Soviet just goes along, and the Soviet is always directed by a superior political force. Well, we begin to notice that there are no political boundaries in Sovietized countries. The boundaries don't matter. Your city government loses effectiveness because it becomes subjected to Soviets that operate on a different level. You say, well, that couldn't be happening in America. This is the United States, not the United Soviets of America. And I'll say, well, that's what we think. But if we really look at our political structure and how it is playing out today, we find we have in place another government, another level and layer of government that is called regionalism. Regionalism acts like a Soviet-style government. So what is this regionalist government that America has today? Well, people are beginning to understand the nature of councils of governments and metropolitan planning organizations. Now, both COGs and MPOs are organizations created by the federal government. Between COGs and MPOs, virtually every square inch of America is covered by these loosely defined geographic circumstances that incorporate these COGs or MPOs. For instance, in California, where I'm at, there is CalCOG. Now, we have 58 counties in the state, and we have 30 COG areas. One of them is called the Association of Bay Area Governments. Now, this covers 9 counties and 7.5 million people in the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, no city, no county in the San Francisco Bay Area can do anything important without getting permission from their COG. Now, that's the way the condition has existed for the last several decades. But today, COGs are taking tremendously more power. Back to the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, the COG there, called ABAG, is now called for the 9 Bay Area counties to adopt a regional plan called One Bay Area. Now, what One Bay Area does is it's pure sustainable development agenda 21. It calls for public transit and for all housing to become stack and pack housing located on these public transit corridors.
On that note, Michael, hold that thought. We got to go to break. 3 minutes. We'll be back. Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates is my guest. FreedomAdvocates.org is his website. We will be back in three. Hey, everybody. This is Meg Scott. We're back. I'm talking this morning with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. FreedomAdvocates.org is his website. When we left off, Mike, you were just talking about living beside the railroad tracks in little Packenstatt huts. So please continue. Huts is my term, not yours, but they may as well be. So go ahead, Mike, please.
Well, so in the Bay Area, there's One Bay Area program. It's being pushed by the local regional outfit, the COG, called the Association of Bay Area Governments. And so they've had their little dog and pony show around the Bay Area over the last several months. And lo and behold, for the first time in American history, the COG operation has been exposed to the public by people working to expose the Agenda 21 program that's operating through the COG operation. And they've done a darn good job, because these consensus meetings held around the San Francisco Bay Area were virtually shut down at every location by citizens who simply wanted answers to some basic questions, questions that the COG operators and the city officials and county officials behind the One Bay Area plan simply couldn't or wouldn't answer. And so each of these consensus-based meetings ended up being busted up, no progress being made. So where does that leave the program? That's uncertain right now. But what's key is that people are beginning to figure out how regionalism, that is, the federalization of local policy, all in accordance with the globalist objectives of Agenda 21, are being implemented and can be stopped. Now, we're late in the game, because these COGs have been around for 50 years. You know, the American system of government was changed a long time ago. It was Dwight Eisenhower and his governor in this state, Ronald Reagan, who brought us, in Reagan's words, he said, our system of government is a horse and buggy system. We need a new system, and that is why I am bringing the regionalist outfits to California. These outfits are everywhere in every state across the country, all doing the same thing. Plan Maryland is like the One Bay Area plan. And those two probably represent the most advanced stage of Agenda 21 implementation in America. And yet every county is sitting with their COG ready to do similar, if not the same, kinds of things that have been implemented through One Bay Area and Plan Maryland. So everyone needs to be worried and wary of this kind of regionalist approach undertaken by the COG or the MPO in your neighborhood. The COGs and MPOs are run by the federal government. It is why the finances in this country are upside down. The promise from One Bay Area for the remake of the San Francisco Bay Area is a federal guarantee of $250 billion. That means American taxpayer dollars going in to remake the San Francisco Bay Area so that everyone participates in public transportation and lives along the lines of the stack and pack sustainable development, human habitation, Agenda 21 living standards. And they've got a glossy package for how all that's going to take place in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're talking from San Jose to north and east of San Francisco, 7.5 million people. These plans are in the process for every metropolitan area in the United States. And every metropolitan area in the United States already has its smart growth programs. It has its politicians lined up. If you want to make a move inside the Democrat or the Republican Party and you do not embrace Agenda 21, you will be left in the dust. That's why we have so very few elected officials who face up to this problem. But if you are concerned about the future of your community and the future of America, the way to answer the call is to get yourself in office, understand Agenda 21, and begin to strip it out of your local politics.
Well, we need to get a lot of people awake to this, Michael. I've watched the videos that have come out of the ABAG meetings and that out in your area. I love to watch it. It's really comical because you can tell the people that are pushing this agenda, they don't know what to do because I don't think they've had any adversaries before get in their face and call them on the hustle that they're hustling to people. So it's really a marvelous. It warms the cockles of my heart. I like to watch it a lot. I really do. It's a big thrill to see them go at it and call them out for exactly what they're doing.
Well, and who would figure that the San Francisco Bay Area would be the place where, battle lines would really be drawn.
I wouldn't have taken that bet, Michael. I could tell you that much. That's for sure. That wouldn't have been the place I would have ever imagined of anywhere in the United States that somebody would have stood up and gone toe-to-toe with these people. I wouldn't have thought it would have been that liberal mindset neck of the woods of the United States. Somewhere maybe
Let's talk about that a little bit, because it's the liberal mindset that I'm convinced is going to wake up to what they have been lured into. And there is nothing liberal about a return to a centralized government format where unalienable rights are no longer politically recognized and where human beings are considered chattel of ruling elite. That is not a liberal notion. I mean, somewhere in the roots of modern liberalism, everyone who considers themselves a modern liberal has some root back to the idea of classical liberalism. And classical liberalism is the idea that we each own ourselves and that government does not exist in order to control our persons or beings. And yet, today, that's what liberalism means. It means the control of the individual for the pleasure of the group. And that's not where Thomas Jefferson and liberal ideas came from. So when liberals begin to understand that Agenda 21 calls for a complete monitoring and control of all human action, the liberals are going to wake up and say, not over me or not, and what's remarkable in the Bay Area is that the centralization of the objection to Agenda 21 and the One Bay Area plan came from lefties. I don't mean that term derogatorily, but these are people who have voted for Barack Obama. I don't consider that any worse than having voted for John McCain.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is that people, whether they call themselves on this crazy political spectrum line that we have in effect today, whether you call yourself conservative or liberal, there's two things that can be said about both conservatives and liberals. One is they're led by globalists. Doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative. The leaders are globalists. That's first. And second is that liberals, just like conservatives, don't want this massive government that's out to streamline our numbers and to assure that the survivors become good public workers. And you boil down and you see what the policies are all about, and the real liberal who has somewhere, like I say, these vested notions of classical liberalism, you know, the Thomas Jefferson idea that government exists to protect the rights of the people, not to take rights from the people. And when that notion begins to pop up into the liberal mindset, as it once did, the rejection from the liberal side of Agenda 21 is going to lead the return of America. So don't give up on your so-called liberal friends. Remind them of what liberalism is really all about. And it is not about having a centralized world government coming in and, and taking control of our lives.
Well, you know, I had talked about when the show first started, Michael, this whole Gibson guitar fiasco that's taking place, and I am sure that many of the people who work there, now I'm surmising this, but I think I'm probably pretty right on the money with it, that a lot of those people working for Gibson Guitar were probably, the Trig hugger kind of person and believed in all of this global warming hustle and that stuff. And so this is going to be a real slap in the head with a 2x4 for these people working there to see what's actually going down. And I'm sure a lot of them are going to have taken the time to do a little research into why they're going to be losing their jobs, and their jobs are going to be offshored, and it would be okay to use that wood to make a guitar in India, but it isn't okay to use that wood to make a guitar here in the United States. So I'm sure this will have made a lot of the people working in that factory, I'm sure a lot of them woke up just because that one instance alone, and all the people in the music business and music people who like to go and hear bands play, and I'm sure this has gotten to a lot of these little local bands that play in nightclubs and bars and that stuff. Some of those people are going to start to wonder, wait a second here. So a lot of these things, as terrible as they are, they work to our advantage because people are going to start to say, wait a second, something's wrong with this picture. Who may never have questioned a thing heretofore, so.
If we have to wait for everyone to be affected, which is everybody, to be affected before people wake up, then it's probably too late, because once everybody's affected by this, then the forces of globalism are in firm control, and I think it'd be almost foolhardy today to say that they're not in firm control. And that's why the awakening needs to come sooner and not later, so that we can begin to undo what I call the second revolution in America, which happened silently. You know, with Nikita Khrushchev, who said, "We will bury you, America, without firing a shot." And that's what's happened today. We are buried. We're buried under the international trade policies that create the circumstances you've just described. You know, we need to get our trade policy back inside this country and get the development of our trade policy out of the World Trade Organization. This is the infrastructure for the New World Order. Trade policy is so key to establishing the sovereignty of America, and we have no power over our trade policy anymore. This is one of the cornerstones of building globalism coming out of Washington, D.C., and it's not going to change anytime soon. The reason why we've got 20% unemployed in this country today is because we're members of the World Trade Organization. The objective of Agenda 21, the reason for the World Trade Organization, is to equalize the economics between nations. That's why our jobs go offshore. That's why our economy has been floundering for a long time. We're just getting ourselves into the range of the rest of the world. And once we've been dropped low enough, sure, then they'll let some manufacturing return to the United States. But it's no accident that manufacturing, you cite guitars today, that manufacturing has been shipped off the American shore. That's because the American exceptionalism, as it's being called today, is to be neutralized. And that's exactly what our trade policy is designed to do. Until we can recapture our communities, until we can recapture our states, and until we can recapture American foreign trade policy, this country will continue to slide toward the economic oblivion that we all know that we're sliding toward.
You know, let's talk about back to regionalism and local control of these unelected boards. Let's talk about that, these councils, a little bit more, Michael. Let's talk about the idea that some people think is a great idea, which I disagree with 100%. But let's talk about creation of property rights councils that some people think is the way to fight these unelected Soviets, is by creating more unelected Soviets. So let's talk about that if we could. We got a couple minutes before we're going to hit another break. So please go ahead if you would.
Well, the effort here is from people who have become frustrated that they're not part of any, quote, stakeholder group. Now, that a stakeholder group is a term that has been bandied about America under the Agenda 21 umbrella for a long while. Everybody's a stakeholder. If you drive down the street, you're a stakeholder in what color my house happens to be. Now, that's how stakeholder councils work. And our governments at the local level are swarmed by the, you know, Sierra Club stakeholders and the, you know, the stakeholders for, you know, for this Agenda 21 cause or for that Agenda 21 cause. And they all have a voice inside the government. So somebody says, gee whiz, property owners need to become stakeholders in this new system of government that has evolved that incorporates these concepts, including regionalism. Well, what does that mean? That means that property owners, and the only excuse I've seen for this came out of North Carolina, where an elected official says, well, we need a property rights council because, gee, our elected officials here don't know what the Constitution says. So we need to be told. Well, some people think that's a compelling argument for adding one more layer to the Soviet system of council, and that layer being a property right council. Now property rights gets reduced to the concept of a stakeholder. That makes no sense at all, because the idea of property, of private property, and government's respect for an individual's private property is the whole basis for the American Constitution. Now, if we're electing people who don't know that, we're electing the wrong people to bring a council in to argue against 100 other councils who want to have open space, and you've got one council that says, no, you don't go creating open space out of someone's private land, is an argument that's going to get you nowhere. Because if we're not electing people who understand what private property is, then to enmesh private property into a Kremlin kind of political atmosphere is playing right into the hands of the people who want to Sovietize America. The idea of property right councils is repugnant to the idea of property rights. And I'm so disappointed to see some people who have been longtime activists in the anti-Agenda 21 movement succumb to the idea that the cornerstone of our political philosophy is now to succumb to the status of a stakeholder in the battle against private property. Gee, we're going to now summons private property to the altar for its own sacrifice, brought to that altar by the people who pretend to be defending private property, but in fact are people who have abandoned private property by Sovietizing the system for protecting property.
Exactly. On that note, Michael, hang on. Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates is my guest. We'll be back in 3 minutes. My name is Maggie Rodden, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. Are you really in sort of the tide? Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest is Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. FreedomAdvocates.org is his website. Mine is three words. TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com, TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com. Go there. There's a ton of information on my website. I link to all kinds of websites. Michael's is one of them. Right on the right-hand side on the main page, I have a list of recommended links. Michael's is there. You really need to go there. If you have any kind of questions, I'm telling you, that's the place to go. It's a library. So I'm glad you've been working on your – you got a library card for your library, do you, Michael?
No, you just got to be an interested American. You know, we've been doing this since the year 2000, when we discovered the source of our problems here in Santa Cruz, California, to be directly related to the local implementation. We were one of the early practice areas for the implementation of Agenda 21. They found things moved so smoothly here as they established their green belt zones around cities and focused all the money into public transportation, which still is not working, but that's where the direction is, and land use patterns that require the smart growth style development and that take the use of land from people. So as we discovered Agenda 21's connection to all of this in the year 2000, we with other local area people began what we called then Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. We later changed our name to Freedom Advocate as our focus became more, more national in the implication of the Agenda 21 protocol. And our purpose was that we knew that Santa Cruz at that time was one of five or six plot grounds in the United States for testing out the Agenda 21 protocol. And so we had sort of an advance notice of what sustainable development was going to do to property and property owners and do to communities and would do to overall economic conditions. And so we began this website with the contributions first of Santa Cruzans and later from people all over the country and around the world as our focus began to spread out by 2003 or 2004. Today it's just a very rich site that has been discovered by the enemy forces, and so it's brought us under increasing attack from organizations like the American Planning Organization. The American Planning Association is one of the primary organizations. I think they're an NGO. I'm not sure of that. But one of the primary organizations in America that has taken on the implementation of Agenda 21 policies. And, of course, they're the perfect organization to do that because they run the land use policy in every town in America. Because every town has its planning organization, and every planning organization has its ties to the American Planning Association. So it is through a whole myriad of organizations like the APA that Agenda 21 comes into effect in your community. Our purpose, again, has been to give people some advance word. Today, the word is not too advanced because in the year 2012, every county in America is past the point that Santa Cruz was at in the year 2000. So, the idea of freedom advocates in your town becomes necessary. Somebody, it's got to be you, Mr. Listener, or Ms. Listener, somebody has got to take the word to your local inhabitants. Somebody has to study the operations that are being undertaken in your local government and expose this to a wider public. And then it's a matter of getting yourself or others running for office who understand Agenda 21 who can begin the cleansing process.
On that note, hang on, Michael. We got a quick 60-second station identifying break. We'll be back in 60 short seconds. Don't change that dial. Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodman. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show, and I want you to get involved with this network. Help us redistribute the truth. You need to help support us because there ain't no free lunch in life. I say that every day, but I can't tell you that enough. If you haven't figured it out yet, you will soon. Believe me, I guarantee that people are going to start figuring out that there's nothing free about the free lunch at all that they think they're going to be chomping on. The number to get involved with this network is 800-724-2719. You can call us. You can make a donation. You can advertise your business or service. You can buy one of the products, support our advertisers. Do something. Just don't do nothing. RepublicBroadcasting.org is our website. 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664 is our address. 800-724-2719 is our number. Facebook, we are Republic Broadcasting Network. And on Twitter, we are RBN Live. Please get involved. You got to support the people who stand on the front lines for you. It's just the way it is. That's a fact of life, okay? It's as simple as that. It's a fact. So, my guest this morning is Michael Shaw. He is from Freedom Advocates. His website, freedomadvocates.org. Mine is theunsolicitedopinion.com. And I always link to my guests who have websites. I link to their guests to their websites on mine under the tab entitled Podcast. So, make sure if you can't remember his, you can remember mine. Go there and you'll find his. So, anyway, Michael, let's a little bit more on these property rights councils, because I really want that concept to be smashed so people understand that it, as much as you might think, oh, well, these are our guys, so it makes it okay, it doesn't make it okay. And
No, just because your guys get into the Kremlin and have a little say at the Kremlin that gets heard and dismissed doesn't mean you've made any progress. It just means you have submitted to the system. And once you submit property rights to the Soviet-style system where the answers all come from on top, you have lost not the battle, you've lost the war.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. I mean, this is the most harebrained idea I have ever heard. Now, if you've got somebody smart enough to lead the property right council in your town, I say, get that person to run for office. You know, when I'm told by a North Carolina city or county representative that these property councils are needed because the elected officials don't know what the Constitution says, I say, well, the problem then is the voters. You don't elect people to public office who don't understand the Constitution and don't understand the cornerstone that private property represents to our whole philosophical and economic system in America. And if we don't recapture that, then you might as well sign your children over to the New World Order as slaves to the New World Order, because if we can't get our minds around the idea of private property, we have no hope for the life, liberty, and happiness of the next generation. And by next generation, I mean people who are alive today. In fact, I would stretch that so far as to say that even baby boomers are going to feel the nasty effects of a life spent not paying attention to political philosophy, not understanding the nature of the American experiment, and not knowing what private property is. Now, most people think that private property is a thing. That's not what private property is. Private property begins with your person. Your hands are your private property. When the idea of private property is surrendered to the agent of force, then your hand becomes a tool under the power of that force. Private property represents the essence of who we are. Private property includes our thoughts and our attitudes. And when private property is eliminated, we don't have those thoughts and attitudes that can be shared freely, because you are now under the control of a ruling elite.
On that note, Michael, hang on 3 minutes. We'll be back. Don't change that dial. We shall return. Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Robin. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. I'm talking with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. So, Michael, please continue. We're talking about your hands, your thoughts. They are your private property. And you had left off talking about the baby boomers, and that's one of the things that I think a lot of people really don't get, Michael, is that they will be impacted. There's 10,000 people a day reach retirement age in this nation, or are retiring, so we can assume that's retirement age. These people don't realize it will impact them. I was looking at an article that I saw about a week or so ago from the UK, and they were talking about how there were older people there in the UK who were living in their homes that might have three bedrooms, and all they needed was one. It was unjust for them to stay in those homes, that those homes could be put to better use for other people, and that same thing is going to happen here as well.
Well, that's right. Now, we're living the life of Ayn Rand when she was in Russia, and was relocated in her own house into a bedroom as four other families were brought in. That's what England is doing today, and what hits England usually hits the U.S. in a few years. So, the whole collectivization, I mean, we're talking thorough collectivization. Human beings are treated as livestock. You know, if you're an older person and you're living in a house where you raise children and you don't have children there anymore, they're simply going to move you out because it's not an effective use of the resource is how the new world is intending to work. And it's just time to wake up. But let's go back to the property right discussion.
Okay.
About using your hands and how your mind is private property. But private property does extend to the relationship that a person has with something. It's not the thing itself. It's the relationship you have to, we'll say, property. You know, private property is the idea that its owner has the power to determine the use and has the power to enjoy the property. So it's the relationship that identifies the nature of private property. It's not the thing that identifies private property as private property. So it's a person having the ability to use their own being to advance what it is they want to advance through private property, whether that's your hand, your mind, or a piece of land you own, or a car you own. The idea that private property doesn't include your right to its use suggests that the government can simply come and tell you, well, you may own that car, but you can't use it.
Yeah.
Once they say you can't use it, they've destroyed the relationship between you and the thing that represents private property. Now, the idea of private property is a unique idea in the human experience. Government has always had the control to neutralize a person's capacity to have private property. America was the exception to that because it is only under the American form of government, as outlined in our Declaration of Independence, where the idea of private property can arise. And the reason the idea of private property can arise in America is because this is the first and the only country in the history of the world to politically recognize every individual's unalienable or natural rights. And the natural right to the use and enjoyment of property is the cornerstone upon which America was built. It was George Washington who said, private property and freedom are inseparable. And so, you know, the demons know that as well. And if they can separate us from the idea of private property, they know that our freedom will have lapsed and they will be in control of us. And that's what the globalist movement centered on the Sustainable Development Agenda 21 is all about.
You know, I may have mentioned this yesterday, but I've got to mention it again too, Michael. I had a friend up to see me this past weekend who lives down in D.C., and she was talking about, you know, it's such a gradualization of changing a thought process from respecting an individual to being one of a collective, and there is no individual. She was talking about they have these zip cars down there that they're promoting, that you don't need to own a car. Owning a car is really selfish. Why not just make it easier on yourself? Just rent one of these zip cars, share one of these zip cars, and then you can share your bicycle as well. And of course, this is the gradual a deconstruction of the thought of freedom and liberty and individualism into collectivism ideology, where you're just one fish in the school of fish. There is no unique fish. You're just one amongst many, and the many counts. It's fascinating, really, when you think about how they're implementing this. It is very fascinating. They are very diabolical, and they haven't missed a beat, really.
Well, I don't know that I would agree they haven't missed a beat. I think they are in what George Bernard Shaw, an early Sabian socialist, said. He said, we will crawl for decades. We will crawl like a turtle for as long as we have to. But when we see the finish line, we will break out into a mad dash. Well, I think that's what they're doing today. And their dash is so mad, they're tripping all over themselves, Maggie. And this is when we have opportunity to come to our wits and recognize what our government is putting us through. And that extends right down to the local level. And, you know, city representatives who take a position against someone's use of their property simply to be able to move up the political ladder, because that's how you move up the political ladder these days, is you deny people the use and enjoyment of their property. That gets you brownie points in city government and county government these days. And that's the attitude that's got to change. And the only place it can change and have it count is have it change in the place where you live.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there, Michael. I truly do. Listen, we've got a caller. Let's grab this caller. Who's on with us? I think Art in Georgia. Yeah, Arthur, go ahead, please. How are you, Art?
Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good, Miss Rodden. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
And you too as well, sir. Yeah, just interesting conversation about property. I've always tried to tell people that the first thing to understand about property is that property is not based upon a piece of dirt or whatever. It's the value of property is based upon what it will produce. And when you talk about property being things like your hands and things like this, it makes me think of a case from a number of years back was Davis versus Mississippi, in which the court ruled that things like your fingerprints, your blood, your saliva, bodily fluids, anything physically attached to you is property and cannot be touched without warrant. And so that's why I find this conversation very interesting when you mention the hands, because your hands are your property and they can produce a product to create wealth. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out and see what you thought, and I'll listen to your response off air because I'm kind of busy. Thank you very much. Great conversation.
Thanks, Arthur. Michael,
well,
go right ahead.
I think Arthur, as he described, there's property, you know, which is a thing. Private property is an idea. And what's important in America is not that property be recognized, because property just is, when defined simply as a thing. But the idea of private property is much deeper, because it connects the person or a person to a particular property in the form of the nature of the relationship that exists between people and property. And it is that relationship that is the secret of the American historical success. And it is that relationship that is under attack today. I hope that helps.
Okay. Let's talk about, I don't know, Michael, you know, there's so many different things that we could discuss here. You know, I have, zoning and code is such a biggie as a way that they're manipulating people out of their use and enjoyment of their property by utilizing those different tactics. And I know you're aware of what's gone on up there in California, in the Antelope Valley, the people that they have red tagged, and this is such a blatant denial of people's property rights, Michael. It's just amazing to me that more people just aren't up in, you know, arms, essentially, you know, screaming and railing about what's being done. I don't know why people don't realize that what's happening to one person is only a matter of time before it happens to them as well. I don't understand why people don't get that.
Well, people didn't study, you know, the build-up to World War II well enough, perhaps, and understand what Hitler did with different groups of people. You know, it was, you know, the person crying out, well, they're after the Catholics, or they're after the Jews, or they're after, you know, the homosexuals, you know, but they're not after me, so I stay quiet. And eventually the whole German, the whole German nationality went down in flames. And that's where America sits today. But I think, Maggie, there are a rising number of people who see this from the big philosophical perspective, and who know that something has to be done, who know that this train is going to run over them unless this train is derailed. And, you know, we've given the train lots of time to pick up the speed, and now we're really to the point where we don't do something about this beginning now, and I think that beginning has happened, then we're simply not going to survive as a nation, you know, a nation that originally ascribed itself as being the land of the brave and the home of the free. We're going to become the land of the captured and the home of the enslaved.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hang on, Michael. 3 minutes. We'll be back. We're going to break. Don't change that dial. Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rod. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest is Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, freedomadvocates.org. Michael, what's the latest, if you know by chance, on the dams up in Northern California, up in Siskiyou County in that area? Where are they at? Because I know there's been some sheriffs standing up and trying to defend the people in their county. Do you know the latest on that? Is there latest on that fight?
Well, there is the latest. Let's give a little background. Siskiyou County is the third largest county in California by landmass. It is in the central part of the state and is the northernmost county in that central region, central area of the state of California. There's about 45,000 people there, and there are four dams. And Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar has been squawking for a long while that these dams need to be taken down. Now, the consequence of taking these dams down is that the ranch land that has been there now for 100 years will be decimated. People will be wiped off their land. The land will definitely go fallow. The Klamath River in that area is just a slow-moving, stinky, you know, dirt water filled with you know, all kinds of things that make it very unusable to any landowner. So the plan from the federal government is to inundate this mass area in Northern California with, you know, floodwaters, and to eliminate the electricity provided to over $150,000 homes by eliminating the hydro portion of these dams. Now, these dams are now owned by Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett, working with the federal government, is willing to put in, I don't know, I think it's over $500 million for the destruction of these dams and the ruination, really the beginning of the Wildlands Project here in Northern California, of the lives of these 45,000 people. Now, earlier this week, Salazar getting so much heat from people in Siskiyou, I mean, they're standing up nicely, such that he has now backed down and said he will not make this order through the Department of Interior, and that instead he will go to Congress and get a congressional order for the teardown of these dams. So they've bought a little time, and their defense is working well. But let's stop and think about this. Let's suppose you were living in a rural America somewhere in the United States, and the federal government came in. The federal government, not the state government, not the local government, but the federal government. What role do they have in this in the first place? Comes in and says, you've got to dismantle your dams. And that means destroying the landscape that you're living on, and it means you're going to be plumb out of power. What would you do if that happened? I'll tell you what I would do. If I were living in Siskiyou, I'd be saying, it's time to withdraw, secede from the United States.
Yep. Yep.
Now, that's not an easy thing to say, and it gives me chills thinking that the United States may start to break up. But, you know, if the federal government is to become the agent for a repressive globalist system of governance that comes in and destroys the lives of all county residents in particular areas they want to make into wildlands, I say, well, it's about time for people in Siskiyou to simply say, we're taking the dams. We're going to condemn the dams. It ain't going to cost us much because, you know, Buffett's signing them to be of negative value. He's having to pay the cost of teardown. We're going to condemn the dams for nothing. And then we're going to tell the federal government, you can take your policies and shove it.
Yeah.
Because we are not going to tear down our dams. We are not going to abide by your policies. And if that means you force us into seceding, we will.
Well, you know, Michael, I think it really is going to come to that the American people need to take a stand, because they have this government and the people who control this government, they have no interest in stopping what they're doing. And the only way it's going to be stopped is if the American people dig their heels in and say that they have had enough. We are done playing these games. Because, you know, here's another thing, and everything is a double-edged sword. You know, they want to take down our access to the Internet, and the Internet has been a great way of people waking up, getting information, learning things they never knew before, which, of course, is why they want to eliminate our free access to this information, because as much as they can spy on us through the Internet, we can still get information. And all the different things that they do, they really are double-edged swords. For example, I was reading something that they want to give less health care to the soldiers and retired military and have them pay more on that stuff for their benefits. Well, you know what, honestly, Michael, in a way, and I said that earlier in reference to something else we were talking about, in a way I'm glad that these things are happening, because that's going to be just the prodding, the straw that broke the camel's back to get somebody to open their eyes and say, wait a second here. What the hell is going on in this country that I am fighting and risking my life for? What's going on? And now they want to jam it to me? I don't think so. So all of these different things that people are starting to wake up to, like the Gibson guitar thing, is in, you know, it just, it all works to our advantage, I think, Michael. Truly I do, as well as, of course, that, you know, they've got the power, but it's to our advantage when it comes to waking people up. I like to think that way anyway. Listen, we've got to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Rodney in Illinois will grab your call when we come back. Don't change that dial. Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates is my guest. Hang in there, everybody.
Are you ready?
Everybody, we're back. Michael Shaw is my guest, and Michael, we've got a caller on the line from Illinois. Let's grab Rodney. Hi, Rodney.
Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Mr. Shaw.
Good morning.
Maggie, I years ago was involved in some resistance to a scenic byway effort.
For you. Yeah.
And we got a hold of the scenic byway master plan. And in this master plan, they used a word that I was wondering if Mr. Shaw was familiar with. And that word is usufruct. U-S-U-F, as in Frank, R-A-C-T.
I am...
U-C-T, usufruct.
I am familiar with that word. Michael Kaufman has done some exposés of the meaning and use of that word, but I'll let you proceed because I'm a little rusty on it, frankly.
Well, I'll do the best I can on a spur of the moment. Just hadn't that come to mind. It means, in general, the beneficial use of property belonging to another. And that covers a great deal of what motivates and underpins the efforts of government, NGOs, the concept of beneficial use of property belonging to another is so widespread. But my question is, and you know, with apologies to Lark in Texas, who's very eloquent in the use of and understanding of words, is even if you have a clear understanding of that word, there still there's still something remaining into organizing your thought processes to resist these efforts that might fall underneath of that word. And but anyhow, I'm curious of what you might recall about that word or Mr. Kaufman's expose of that.
Well, it's a European notion for the management of property. It is directly in opposition to the idea, to the political recognition of the nature of an individual's unalienable rights. It is a different structure upon which a whole legal system is built around usufructor. It's a hard word to say.
Yeah, it is. Usufructory? How's that sound? I'm not even sure if that's the correct usage of usufruct, but yeah.
But the idea is to totally change the nature of how property and the rights that associate with property are to be transitioned into this European model. And of course, it's the European model across the board, whether it's the European Union translating to the North American Union, or whether it's the trade policies coming out of the World Trade Organization that D.C. has accepted, and it goes on and on, this modeling of the European system and this concept of how property is ordered is part of that European system.
Yes. Well, I suspect it may have the same root as the word usury, but I'm just guessing at that. But my offer this morning is proper resistance to these things must begin at the firmest of foundations. And I would suggest it begins with a submission to the concept that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And those of us who have the blessing and the responsibility merely have stewardship. But yet we can appeal to that higher power, the Creator, and through that appeal and proper submission to His law, is the firmest foundation one can begin with. And from there, I think proper resistance can be had, because you have the courage to speak for and on behalf of the true landowner. And we can see through the ages of Christendom where the Catholic Church, or the Universal Church, or other churches, they, claim the right to possess and dispossess and to, by right of conquest, gain title to property and by proxy have stewardship. But I think Christ himself endorsed the concept of private property, in a sense, on an individual level and not collective, as a subcategory of a overarching state authority, but in the person. And that can be found in many areas of scripture, and often anticipate someone's proper expose of the concept of jubilee, where property, having once been divided, sold, mortgaged, leveraged, et cetera, every 50 years, it gets taken back to square one, and it starts over again, in a sense. And but anyhow, I always enjoy your show, Maggie, and keep up the good work. And Mr. Shaw, you're always a pleasant addition to our program, and that's about all I've got to say.
All right. I think he's expressed this well, and yet I would offer that one need not be a believer to rally around the ideas that are predicated upon a believers of political economics. America was founded with the notion that we are creatures of God, and in that regard, it limits the power of government so that people have a life that is their own, and a belief system they can develop on their own. And as I learned in grammar school a long time ago, that the idea of America, the idea that we are a nation submitted to the Creator, is an idea that benefits everybody. You don't have to be a believer to benefit from the ideas that come from the belief in the believer and the political economics that result from that. The Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not steal. It doesn't say, thou shalt not steal unless you're an agent of government.
Well, I'm looking at the dictionary here online, Michael, for the definition of usufruct. And it says that it's an early 17th century word, Latin, from usufructus, a variant of usufructus, use and enjoyment, usus, and fructus, meaning enjoyment. But it's saying that usufruct is defined as the legal right to use another's property, to use and enjoy the advantages or profits of another person's property. Now, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Why would I want to give you the fruits of my labor by force? What right do you have to the fruits of my labor? You have no right whatsoever.
Well, you have to understand that when scenic rivers and corridors come into your neighborhood, nobody's asking you about what you'll give to the collective.
it's simply taken. You know,
yep.
And that's the dilemma that faces America today. You know, before the show is over, we ought to have some mention of the organization ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. This is a UN-sponsored NGO that was created in 1990. It is it constitutes a league of cities around the world that are all committed to Agenda 21. Now, there are 600 cities in America that have contracts with ICLEI for the purpose of furthering the ICLEI goals, which, to no surprise, are Agenda 21. Now, this information has begun to seep out into the American populace, and as a consequence, somewhere around, ICLEI reports, 50 cities have withdrawn their memberships in the ICLEI organization. That's a big thing, because the way that we are being transformed is through the ICLEI initiatives that come in through your cities and counties. Now, ICLEI is a particularly dangerous organization because it changes using climate change as its local excuse for changing the land use codes, creating thereby these buffer zones, these wildland areas, and these stack and pack zones. And so the infusion of globalist policy around this country is largely, at the local level, due to the activities of this ICLEI organization. Now you say, well, how can that be? How can a foreign organization come in and contract with local government for the purposes of implementing an international political economic standard in my town? How can that happen, people ask. Well, in theory, it's not supposed to happen. The U.S. Constitution prohibits state and local governments from doing precisely that. Article 1, Section 10 says that no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation with, in essence, a foreign political power. Now, ICLEI is an international organization. It's an NGO, meaning that they are sanctioned by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21. Now, ICLEI's been around a long time. ICLEI has actually, its leader has actually said, we are going to change the United Nations into the United Cities. You see, ICLEI already runs what they call a World Congress made up of your elected officials from your ICLEI membership towns. So a shadow world government has been established. And it's through this organization that runs your local land use policy. The time is to notice your local officials of the fact that they're violating Article 1, Section 10. You can go to Freedom Advocates, look at the ICLEI primer, which is posted at our front page, and you go back. It's well linked, and it'll give you the story of ICLEI and, you know, some of the steps you can take to expose ICLEI in your local community, and the ultimate weapon you have in this regard, which is to serve a notice of misprision of treason to your elected officials who are allowing unconstitutionally this contract between your city or your county and this international NGO to be voided. If they fail to void the contract, they are guilty of at least a misprision of treason, and maybe of treason itself.
Michael, on that note, we've got a couple callers, so let's grab these callers real quickly before we run out of time here today. Frank in California, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Maggie and Michael. I'm very interested in everything Michael is saying. He speaks in a way that gets into my mind real well with respect to ICLEI. But the reason I'm calling is because I had earlier heard you folks say something about the possibility of the United States breaking up, and that's something that is on my mind all the time. I don't see the federal government as being functional. In fact, a friend of mine the other day said to me that the federal government really does not function anymore. And I would agree. It almost, what role it has taken is that of a psychopath. It seems to be attacking all of our freedoms, our property rights, everything and anything that the Constitution guarantees. It seems that they are against. And it really does look to me as if we are going to go the way of the old Soviet Union and the states are going to have to declare their independence from the federal government. Anyways, I don't want to get too far off topic, but thanks again for a great show. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for calling. Michael, you got a comment? Otherwise, I'll grab another caller.
Well, the idea isn't to break the United States apart because, you know, the United States is you know, mankind's greatest political achievement. Our Declaration of Independence is the marvelous document in all of human history. There is something very much worth saving the United States, but I think to save it, we have to begin to rattle the cages on D.C. and reject their control. You know, it's not leadership anymore, it's control. And out of coming from a withdrawal by certain areas across the country from the United States, would I hope, and the plan would have to be, that ultimately it's not the locales that succumb. Ultimately, it's got to be the federal government that succumbs to the people of the United States and gets their act back in order and restricts the scope and nature of what it is the federal government does.
All right, let me grab another caller. We've got Mark on the line from Philadelphia. Go ahead, Mark, please.
Good morning. This your guest, this Michael Shaw, you're incredible. I love what you're talking about. You're right on. I'm originally from Missouri, and right now what they're doing and what they've been doing for the last couple of years is they started the Thousand Gardens Project there, where basically they're taking back their right to grow food, and they're making a lot of headway, and they call it the Well-Fed Neighbor Alliance, which their belief was that if things get bad, you want your friends to be neighbors to be friends. So, you know, if you make sure your neighbor is well-fed, then chances are they'll be your friend and everything will be okay. But I want to encourage you to open up to the idea of they're going to have an expo in the Midwest in Springfield, Missouri, coming up, and that's through Vincent Finelli, who's also on Republic Broadcasting. And I'm going to encourage you guys to get together. I'm going to contact Vincent and have him get in touch with you and find out if there's a way you could come and talk, because what you're talking about is absolutely right. our property rights, to me, everything extends from property rights. Everything connects. That's the core.
Yes.
So I really appreciate your perspective, and thank you, Maggie, for having him on. And let's continue on with this conversation beyond today. And I'm checking out his website. It's incredible. Thank you very much for all the great work you're doing.
Well, you're welcome. You know, we're at the time in history where, you know, if we don't rally up, humanity will be lost for a very long time to a very demonic evil system.
And on the subject of the potential of the America breaking up, which I hope it doesn't do that, but it could be that there might be some states that stand up against the federal government, and it might be a situation like that series that was on a few years ago called Jericho.
Oh, I remember it. Yeah.
And anyway, thanks again, Maggie. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. West, for being on. And please come back and tell us some more. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mark. We're going to break quick. 3 minutes. We'll be back for the final segment. Don't change that dial. Michael Shaw is my guest. Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Robb. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest this morning is Michael Shaw. Freedom Advocates is his group. FreedomAdvocates.org is his website. We got a couple more minutes left. Michael, final thoughts? Anything you'd like to throw in?
Well, I think we've covered a broad range of things today, but to sort of summarize, I'd suggest that people become aware of the ICLEI organization. People become aware of the COGS. ICLEI participates in these COGS, like the ABAG organization in the San Francisco Bay Area. Every area has a COG or an MPO that is infiltrating these globalist policies through the federal government into your locale. So understand these relationships, know who ICLEI is, and get yourself some people elected to local government who understand the Constitution, who understand the thrust of today's federal government and the recycling of local dollars through federal mandates, and begin to step away step by step from all of these infusions of globalist ideology coming either through the federal government or coming through the NGOs that are operating in your town.
Well, awareness is the first step in the resistance. I think Rosa says something like that, Rosa Curry on her Democrat.
Sounds like Rosa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, awareness is the first step of the resistance. Vic, she sent me a book, Michael, written by someone, I can't think of the name of it, but it was a resistance type book that she sent me. So, yeah, but it's true, though. You can't fight something if you don't have any clue what it is you're fighting. So
well,
you really...
It was Sun Tzu who said, in the Art of War, the two cardinal principles is you've got to know who you are, and you got to know who you're against and what they stand for. And if you don't understand Agenda 21, you got no idea of the latter.
Yeah. Yeah, and people really need to get their arms around the idea or their mind around the idea that this is an all-encompassing agenda that is being implemented, that it covers everything from A to Z. It really doesn't make much difference what it is you're talking about. Some way or another, it is related to this agenda that's being implemented worldwide.
Yes.
So we need to stand up and
fight. Well, America's not dead yet, Maggie, and the good news is that, with listeners to shows like this, it takes a handful of people in any community to begin to change this dynamic. The power does sit with the people. The people need to start to exercise it. And to exercise it, they got to know what they're up against. And that's our purpose at Freedom Advocates, is to help people understand, both from a broad brush and from a deep analysis, what Agenda 21 is, how it comes into your community, and what it is you need to do to push back.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me again today, Michael. I always appreciate it. Love to hear what you have to say. Thanks so much for all you do out there. And I'll talk to you again soon, okay?
I'll look forward to that, Maggie.
Take care, Michael.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, everybody, Michael Shaw, freedomadvocates.org is his website. I have linked to his on mine right on the main page on the right-hand side where it says recommended. He's recommended, so I can't recommend people any more than I recommend Michael Shaw. I'm telling you, he is top shelf. Listen, I love to go to Oz, because I have to go there. Listen, somewhere over the rainbow truly is a wonderful place to be. Chin up, everybody. Better days are coming. We've got people like Michael Shaw in the world who are fighting for you and I, so do not lose heart. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. I guarantee it. Don't change that dial, and I'll be back tomorrow, so... Take care, everybody. Chin up.
Far, far away. Behind the moon. Beyond the rain.